our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Spirit can live. Again, that's wrong. We don't want the flesh to die. We don't want the nature of the flesh to die. The flesh has a nature. The flesh has appetite. The flesh has a sense. The flesh has a regulation, a metabolism, a regulation. The flesh has an intelligence, whether you know it or not. The flesh is the most obedient part of us. The flesh is first to obey. That's why the baby comes here obedient, because it's born in the flesh. But after the baby get out here and become born in the world, trouble starts. So how is the flesh to blame, since we are born right in the flesh and wrong in the world? The world is to blame, not the flesh. Oh yes, you didn't think that way before, huh? See how the world has taken us astray? Even Muslims? Even so-called Orthodox Muslims? I don't recognize any Orthodox Muslim but myself. I am the Orthodox Muslim, and if there's another Orthodox Muslim, then I meet my friend and my brother. But when I look for orthodoxy, I look first to myself. Is it that the flesh is sinful? No, not the flesh. We are told in the Quran, Prophet Muhammad also told us, peace and blessings be upon him, that the Muslim has to die. But his death is the death of a Muslim. Not the death of a Christian. Christian is the one who thinks his flesh has to die. Before we become believers, we have to die. We have to die to worldly desires that are in opposition to God's will. The flesh didn't have them before. The flesh got them after coming into the world. Die so that you will live. But don't die physically. Don't kill the flesh. Marry, have a wife. Perform every function of the flesh. Eat food. Drink the good drinks and eat the good food. Have exercise. Fight in war with your physical might if you have to. Sleep. The flesh needs rest. Perform all of the functions of the flesh. Because all of the functions of the flesh have been ordained by Allah. He has an ordained in the very nature of the human being that we eat, that we drink, that we sleep, that we have activities, that we work, that we defend ourselves, and that we marry women of our own selves, and have children from our own selves. The self that is prone to sin is not the flesh, it's the blind worldly mind that comes into the flesh. That's the self that's prone to sin. Nafsul Amara. That's simple, Easy to understand. Prophet Muhammad, when the funeral procession passed by, he showed the Muslims that they should stand in respect for that dead body. But he didn't tell them to stand in respect to each other. In respect for each other. No Muslim is to stand for another living Muslim. Not even the Imam. Because Prophet Muhammad himself didn't allow it. That Muslim stand when he comes in. No, he didn't allow that. We stand in prayer to Allah. And we submit in prayer to Allah. We obey the direction that Allah gave us through his prophet, and we obey the example that his prophet set for us. But we don't worship his prophet. We don't pay flattery to the prophet. That's flattery. This world encourages that kind of flattery. Yes, Brother Imam, bowing down. Stand up, the Imam is here. Stand up. Allah is always here. That's who you should be standing up for. All praise is due to Allah. This is Good Friday, and I know many of you are off of work. You have nothing to do. And if you did, you still shouldn't have anything to do. Because Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, when Jum'ah prayers call, when the time is come for Jum'ah, leave the business. Quran. Chapter Imran, Ali Imran. Allah says, highly glorified is He. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَعُوا إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. For those who are pious, reverent, fearful, obedient, fearing the presence of their Rabb, that is Allah, their evolver and cherisher, for them is Jannat, gardens of paradise, under which rivers flow. To abide therein, was wajum mutahara, and pure mate, ridwanum min Allah, and the good pleasure of Allah. Who is this coming to? Alladhina taqaw. Alladhina taqaw. Those who have reverence, fear, obedience, love, devotion in their heart for Allah. That's who it's going to come to. It's not going to come to those following formalities without their life being in what they're doing. It's not going to come to those who are using their own free discretion, their own liberty to live the life that they want for their own personal convenience. It's going to come to those who will shake up their home life, who will shake up their personal life, who will disturb their own peace, who will make great sacrifices from their own conveniences to please Allah. That is the one. Don't we live in conscience? Human beings live in consciousness. We live in consciousness more than we live in anything else. You're living for a time in your bed at night, for a time in your home, for a time on your job, for a time in the street, for a time here, there, or in this or that. But all the time, you're living in consciousness. We are beings dwelling in consciousness, in our mind. What is the mind? What is this consciousness? It is the environment of our feelings and our thoughts. Then shouldn't we try to keep our feelings and our thoughts right for Allah? Don't we have to give thought to what Allah asks of us? Don't we have to protect our heart and our sentimental makeup, our passionate makeup, from bad influences that will take us away from the guidance of Allah? Don't we have to keep watch over our own state of being? And aren't each of us as an individual Muslim responsible for keeping watch over our own state of being? Who can look into your mind and be a watch for you? Who knows what you're thinking all the time except Allah? Who knows what feelings are stirring inside of your sensitive makeup that are going to create trouble for you, except Allah and you? Don't you have to be responsible for yourself? Don't you have to be responsible to your maker? Those who feel that as a great burden on them, they are الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. They are the ones who give Allah proper reverence. Proper reverence. Proper respect. Allah says in the Quran, glory be to Him, reverence Allah with the respect that is justly due Him. Reverence Allah with the respect that is justly due Him. Let me now read the verses from this chapter, Ali Imran, beginning with the quote that was just given from the 15th verse. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. For the righteous are gardens in nearness to their Lord, with rivers flowing beneath. Therein is their eternal home, with companions pure and holy, and the good pleasure of Allah, and in Allah's sight are all His servants. الذين يقولون ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار. Namely, those who say, our Lord, we have indeed believed, forgive us then for our sins and save us from the agony of the fire. الصابرين والصادقين والقانتين والمنفقين والمستغفرين والمستغفرين بالأسحار. Those who show patience, firmness, and self-control, who are true in word and in deed, who worship devoutly, who sin in the way of Allah, and who pray for forgiveness in the early hours of the morning. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو It is witness that is God himself has given testimony that there is nothing worthy of worship except him. والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. And the angels and those endued with knowledge are standing firm on justice. How come we break justice when we corrupt the purity of worship? We break the law of justice because the law of justice and the purity of worship are intertwined. They affect each other. The law of justice depends on the right worship of Creator. If you give worship to gods that are not God, you are going to break the justice. We can't have justice in a society if we have the right worship of Allah. That's why all over on the earth now, you find there's no justice and there's no right worship of Allah. But the Mamluks, would you say that of Saudi Arabia? Yes. Would you say that of Pakistan? Yes. Would you say that of Egypt? Yes. If there was the right respect for Allah, if there was the right way of viewing our responsibility to one God, one supreme boss alone, there would be such fear on the leaders of those societies that justice will be coming from their hands and their public wouldn't have to trouble them to give them justice. You're not looking at a member of the Sheikh's Imam School. I belong to no Imam School on this earth. I'm a converted to Allah, who have come into my inheritance. I've gotten my conversion by inheritance. That's a fact. My conversion is by inheritance, not by the Imam. So they should shake when I'm around. I shouldn't shake when they are around. Oh, we don't like that kind of talk. He thinks he's something special. No, I think this religion is something special. And it shouldn't be played with. It should be lived seriously. the angels and the angels and those endued with wisdom, with knowledge, al-ilm, the knowledge, they stand firmly on the justice that there is nothing worthy of worship except him, the mightiest, the wisest. In Arabic, La ilaha illa huwa al-azizul hakim.
Inna ad-deena inna Allahi al-Islam. Certainly the religion with Allah is al-Islam. Not Judaism, not Christianity, not your own ideas, al-Islam. وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفُرْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. The religion before Allah is al-Islam, submission to his will, he has in brackets. I continue the quote now, nor did the people of the book differ therefrom except through envy of each other, after knowledge had come to them. But if any deny the signs of Allah, Allah is swift in calling to account. What should we give special attention to here? The eye-opening words. They didn't differ until knowledge had come to them. And the previously mentioned the problem, the envy that came between them. Knowledge, when it comes, people vie for it. Vie for superiority in it. Just like they do for money. When money comes, people get greedy and they get into contest with each other for the money. And when the knowledge comes, they are that same people. If they behave that way in the face of money, they will behave that way in the face of anything that they think will be a great value to them. So when the knowledge comes, they vie with each other for superiority in the knowledge. They envy each other. And then they begin to create hostility and differences among themselves. And they create fashions and friction and fashions and sex among themselves. And pretty soon, there's a separate label for you, a separate label for me. Why? Because we were envious of the position of leadership. And because we couldn't get it all for ourselves, we decided that we'll have our little special organization, our little special sect in the religion. Allah has revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be on him. Allah has revealed to him everything that can affect us in this life. Don't think you'll have any problem in this life that Allah hasn't already dealt with in this Quran. We have this temptation, this weakness to be the big shot. To get all the attention, to be number one in the limelight. And it's a worse problem for those who are so-called intellectual. They want to raise some false symbol of superiority over our heads. And if they can't get us by walking the straight path, they'll step off the straight path and walk the crooked path to get us. Dear beloved believers, I want nothing for myself except Allah's approval for me. That's all I want. I want Allah to approve me. I want nothing else. I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw our cat and our dog with new babies. I saw the cat with four babies, four kittens. And I saw the dog with four pups. And I saw also that there were other pups, but they had died because of bad conditions. And I saw myself in a faraway place, not able to get to them. And when I returned in the vision, I saw that the pups had died, except four. And there were only four kittens to the mother. I interpret this vision to mean this, that if I walk away from this community and leave it to some other leader, when I come back, there'll be nothing but the instinct in you. Your five senses will be gone. Your intelligence will be gone. You'll just have the drive, the senses, but not the concept, not the clear, intelligent concept of what this life is. I don't have to be here physically, but I have to be here as your imam. Should I have to tell you I'm your imam? I shouldn't have to go to any city in this community and tell the people I'm their imam. The history is not that old for them to forget that. I hate to use that kind of picture, a parable that put the people in the community in the image of dogs and cats. But believe me, in all of us is some cat and some dog. In fact, the wise ancient sage said, in the human being is every animal of the forest. And Allah says, highly praises He, in the heavens and in the earth, and in that which operate between them, as well as in yourself, are instructing signs from Allah. Should that exclude the dog? What is he a sign of? A sign of your innocence. A sign of your innocence. Sign of your big, loving heart. The human being, in his innocence, have a big, loving heart. And that strong, loving heart can give itself in devotion to its master and become so loyal that it will risk its own life, that it will operate on inferior level for its master. Do tricks, act a fool, run itself to death, fight an enemy that's too much for it? Respond to the affections of his master for as long as his master wants to be affectionate. That's the innocence, that's the nature in us. So can't we say that these animals do in some way represent or symbolize or depict the faculties in man? Oh yes, the sentiments, the faculties in man, certainly. This is historical kind of thing that we find in the religion, if you can find it and understand it. That's why in the Arabic language, the name dog and the name heart are so close together. Until the average one of you, if I said heart, you would know whether I was saying heart or dog. Heart is kalb. Dog is kelb. Yes. Kalb and kelb. Heart and dog. But that thing that people abuse, don't we abuse our dogs? That thing that people abuse and just take advantage of it, that very thing is our best friend. Isn't that what they say? Oh, yes. The heart is our best friend. The heart will come to the rescue of your life many times when your intelligence is going against your well-being. The heart comes to the rescue. Say, that's wrong. Don't do that. You're going to get in trouble. That's not justice. And our holy prophet said of Bilal in a hadith that Bilal was, he heard him walking in the paradise ahead of himself. Not that a person is going to walk ahead of Prophet Muhammad in paradise. No, that can't be. But Bilal represented a faculty in the Prophet. He was heart. Bilal was heart. And heart will go in ahead of the intellect. Isn't that what Scripture says? My Lord. The prophet is telling us how we can be saved. You be saved by keeping your heart right. And again, Allah says, never will he change the state of a people until they change the states of their souls. If your attitude within is wrong, don't expect no blessing from God. But if you can take the right spiritual attitude, if you can take the right moral attitude, and begin to want righteousness in yourself and justice for self and others, Allah will come to your aid and change your condition. Yes, this is our religion. Let's continue to read from this chapter. فَإِنْ حَاجُّوكَ فَقُلْ أَسْلَمْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّهِ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِ وَقُلْ لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَالْأُمِّيِّينَ أَأَسْلَمْتُمْ. So if they dispute with you, say, I have submitted my whole self to Allah, and so have those who follow me. And say to the people of the book, and to those of the pagans, the unlettered and the illiterate ones, do you also submit yourselves? If they do, they are in right guidance. Let's see the right connection here now. We have to go back to what we read before of the previous, from the previous verse. The people didn't differ until the knowledge came. Jealousy set in, and they began to differ and oppose each other. Then the verse says, it comes on to tell us that the religion of Islam is the only religion approved by Allah. And the people did not differ until the knowledge came. Jealousy set in. Division resulted. Now, if they dispute with you about what? Don't miss the connection. There is one Allah, always have been. He never sent a prophet to say anything different. The religion is Al-Islam. It was always that. He never sent a prophet with any other. That's the contention. That's the testimony of Allah, the angels, and those endued with the knowledge. That he's one Allah, one alone, and he never revealed anything other than that to anybody. That his religion is Al-Islam. It was that before, it's that now. It have never been any different. It never will be. Their differences in the religion is a result of their envy. Envying each other. So they run off with a separate brand. So they will have title to it. Exclusive freedom in it. To say, I'm the chief here. All right. So if they dispute with you, say, I have submitted my whole self to Allah. This is the key. This is the key. Submit your whole self to Allah. You're jealous? Why? Because you haven't submitted your whole self to Allah. You envy your brother? Why? Because you haven't submitted your whole self to Allah. So the prophet was told to say, I have submitted my whole self to Allah. Have you submitted yourself, whole self to Allah? If you have, then you own right guidance. I don't have to worry about you. That's what he's saying, in effect. But if they turn back, thy duty is to convey the message. And in Allah's sight are all his servants. If after that clear understanding has been given, the prophet has delivered the message, peace be on him, that's his responsibility, no more. It's not his responsibility to follow people up and make them change. This religion is too dignified for that. The office of the Almighty, the office of the prophets, the office of the angels, the office of a true imam is too much above that to go following somebody up to bring them back. When the truth is made plain to you, if you want to leave it, go, good riddance. Catch up with your company. You don't belong in ours. Yes. Let us now come to a different kind of idea, but continuing in the vein that I started in when I began the khutbah. The word imam, the name, the term imam, has different meanings. It means leader. The word imam is even applied to a body of knowledge, to office, to responsibility. It's not just applied to human beings. The word imam is applied to also to a body of knowledge. Why? Because we also follow a body of knowledge. And actually, the body of knowledge is a bigger imam than any of us. But a community needs its human imam. Because there always is going to be some human being in a community excelling others and having more qualifications for the job. So the one most qualified should be in that office as the imam. What is the meaning of imam? Leader. The imam is a leader. The word imam is a variation of another word, which means to be in front. That's why the imam stands in front and leads the prayer and gives the khutbah. Leader means what it says, the one who goes ahead of the rest. Wouldn't it be improper in a great disruption of the foot of the Jummah if while the imam is speaking, somebody come up here and stand over here? Even if they stay silent, just the fact they standing over here would be wrong. If they get in this focus, they are wrong. Why? Because at that time, the attention should be on the khutbah and the khatib who's giving it. Yes. Look how silly and crazy it would be if while the imam is leading the salat, somebody from the audience, from the body of the salat, comes up there with the head. Can't you see that in the form of the salat is a knowledge instructing us to respect leadership? The form that the salat takes tells us to respect leadership. It gives us a graphic conception of the imam's place in our society. Yes. Why am I telling you all of this? Because in the vision, I lost some dogs. And only had four cats when I came back. Some of your hearts are going astray. Some of you, your intelligence is going astray. Cat is an intelligent animal. He symbolized brain sense. The dog symbolized heart sense. The heart is so innocent it can be mistreated. You can't mistreat the average cat. As much as he likes home, he'll leave home if you start mistreating him. Isn't it wonderful that Allah has created things to speak to our conscience, to speak to our intellect? Isn't it wonderful that Allah is our first teacher? That in creating things, He spoke a language to our minds and to our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? We say in a dua, which is of the Quran, a dua in the Quran, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana, la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wa hab lana min ladunka rahma, innaka antal wahhab. Our guardian, evolver, and cherisher, keep our hearts from deviating after you have guided us aright, and give us from your presence mercy. Surely you are the one to grant favors. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله We ask Allah's choicest blessings upon Prophet Muhammad to whom the Quran was revealed. We accept him, love him, follow him as our prophet of mercy to all the world, to all people. We accept him as our leader, our imam, our muallim, our teacher in every aspect of our lives. Peace and blessings be upon him, upon his companions, his descendants, the righteous, all of them. Ameen. Dear beloved Muslims, keeping the wholeness of our religion is keeping the purity of our religion. Leaving its wholeness brings in corruption. Any number of things may be responsible for changing or contributing to the loss of our Islamic wholeness. For instance, when we misplace values, when we shuffle or juggle the meanings in our religion, or as it is put in the Quran, take meanings out of their proper places, when we misplace emphasis in the religious teachings, when we fail to keep the basic concepts and principles in right perspective, these things and any number of other things, similar shifts or changes, cause loss of wholeness. Putting it as it is given in the Quran, we take a bite of meat out of our religion. The exact word in the Quran is bid'ah. This word is wrongly termed innovation. Our brothers, brother Muslims from overseas, whose native language is something else other than English, sometimes miss the correct word when they are trying to find an interpretation or a translation, a meaning for the original word in the Quran. The wisdom of the Quran, or the Quranic wisdom, and reference and the Sunnah are weakened by the use of the term innovation. New growth is built into the philosophical teachings or basic teachings of the Quran. The Quran is a living book. The Quran is a book that accommodates every need to grow morally, to grow spiritually, to grow intellectually, to grow academically, to grow scientifically, to grow culturally. Whatever the need in the society is for growth, the Quran has that built-in operation that accommodates the need for growth. In our English-speaking environment, a person is apt to interpret into the meaning of the Quran, wherein it warns us against bid'ah, a call for the Muslims to keep some innovation vigil. As a Pharisee obsession. Many of us are not aware of the instigators influencing Muslim thinking, Muslim understanding, to bring about similar occurrence that they brought about for other religious communities before, the Jews and the Christians. To take the Islamic community, the Muslim community, down the same path of ignorance and self-destruction. The Pharisees made the oral tradition of their rabbis a greater issue than the basic essence of the faith. This we learn from Christian tradition. The Pharisees busied themselves so much in trying to hold other people to the traditions of their particular rabbi that they went taboo crazy. Now, as the Pharisees, with regard to their attitude among us, contemporary representatives from the so-called Orthodox Islamic community, the immigrants, exhibit now a hypocritical vigil, and many of them too are taboo crazy. They want for themselves community superiority over others. They want an old world dominance over the new world. Dear beloved Muslims, I feel the urge to tell you, be neither corrupt nor hypocritical, and be spiritually and rationally attracted to the imam of your choice. But be aware of those who would be your advisors against me. Those who did not stand by the needy Muslims of their own land, Be aware also of the contemporary Sadducees. The design hasn't changed. The same wicked people who instigated the downfall of other religious communities, their descendants, their rabbi children, are their priest children, are there some other kind of children. They're still around here to raise hell for the good people and to keep the same evil design on the religious community. So be aware also of these contemporary Sadducees. And I choose the word contemporary not because it's the best word, but I like it. It suggests something else. Contemporary Sadducees and Pharisees. Walking around in Muslim disguise. Who cheapen our religious ideas. The Sadducees among us, who pretend to be one of us, they are influenced by Marxist materialism and the so-called logic of that material orientation. And they would have our religious ideas cheapened by their Marxist interpretation and application. We have to be aware of that. There are many eye-opening verses in the Quran that speak more strongly to what is happening now in the world than they spoke to what happened yesterday in the world. That's an example of the Quran being able to fulfill demands, no matter what time they come and no matter where they come from. It's never obsolete. It's never old. It's always fresh and new. The Quran is never old. Its freshness is never diminished. It is as fresh today as it was 1,400 years ago when it was revealed. That's what I mean by living and keeping the capacity to accommodate whatever human being wants and needs, if it is right. Let us look now what Allah says in the Quran of the pagan Quraysh. Allah says to us in the Quran that the pagan Quraysh had the cover of Allah's grace before Allah gave us Prophet Muhammad. How is that? How is that that the pagan Quraysh had the cover of grace from Allah and Prophet Muhammad hadn't yet preached among them? Ask the Quran. Ask Allah. Allah says in the Quran, the Quraysh. Their security is granted. In the winter and in summer. And Allah says to the Quraysh, be grateful, therefore, to Allah who has granted you this security. Before Prophet Muhammad came, the Kaaba, the holy precinct, were protected. They were secure. Abraha, the Ethiopian warrior, or the Habashi warrior, came marching against the Kaaba with a great herd of elephants. He had an army of an empire. mighty warrior. But he was turned back, and his great army was reduced to stubble. Yes, I'm not using the exact Quranic words, but I'm giving you the message. Now, dear people, the Arabs also enjoyed a commercial advantage, because that place, in its special kind of treatment that it got, became a place for the markets. The man who sells his goods, the man who does the business, who exchanges money, he would like to be in a secured place. So the people made their business there, because there was more respect for each other's rights in that vicinity. This gave the Arabs another advantage. It gave them a security for their business transaction. It brought business to that area from different parts. They enjoyed this before the advent of our Holy Prophet. I would like to see you seeing yourself now as recipients of Allah's grace before I became your imam. You were favored before I became your imam. You had a reputation for being truthful, for being honest, for being honest in your dealings with each other and in your dealings with outsiders. You had a reputation for being modest, moral conscious people, dressing modestly, covering your shame, staying away from alcohol, wildlife. Where do you think that came from? Oh, that came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And where did he get it from? Oh, he got it from Professor Farad. And where did he get it from? Whatever good comes to you, it's the blessing of Allah. And whatever bad comes to you, it's because of the wrong of men's hands. Yes. Isn't that Allah? Isn't that what Allah says? Whatever good comes to you, it's the blessing from Allah. Whatever wrong comes to you is because of something you did or something the people did. So don't think you have to completely shut yourself off from the past to be a Muslim in the present. You should be grateful for the good you got in the past. You should keep the good morals you learned from the past. You should keep the good mind and good principles you got from the past. You should keep the intimacy, the closeness, the close bonds that were created between us that we got from the past. You shouldn't throw out anything good. You should only throw out that was bad. And you should give all credit to Allah. And you should accept His guidance and not make false this religion. Don't claim anything unlawful for any person or for anything. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a man like a pagan leader, a man like a pre-Islamic Quraysh leader. All of them weren't bad as the others. Some of them were better than others. In fact, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was better than a Quraysh leader, because he was struggling to improve the conditions of his people. He was struggling to shock the mind of society back on the track, back on the right path of moral righteousness. So he was better than a Quraysh leader. But he was a man from the Jahiliyyah, from the ignorant time. He was a man worshiping the wrong God. He was a man guiding his people in the wrong religious direction. But don't say there was no good. There was so much good. And then even greater than that, before the man died, he pointed to his son before his top aides. There was 30 or more sitting at his table. And he said, I wish I was like my son. He said to them, I wish I was the man my son is. Now, if that's not a great man, tell me what is a great man. A man who lead a people and get the respect that he got and get the high position among his followers that he got and then sit among his lieutenants, among his captains, among his MGT officers, among his secretaries, they were at the table, and among his own children, they were at the table. His aunt, his sister, pardon me, she was at the table, my aunt, to sit in the presence of his family members, in the presence of his officers, of his organization, and his own children, and tell them in front of all of them that I wish I was a man my son is, that's a great man. That's a great man. He was telling them, I know you all know that I have slipped. Sure, I have slipped, but it's not in my heart to be that way. I wish I was like Wallace. That's exactly what he was telling them. And that's a great man. I know you don't like for him to look up to me that way. Too bad. Catch up with your company. You're in the wrong house. I don't do this often. It's just every once in a while that I hold you like this. If I break a law on Sabbath, I think it will be forgiven since I'm trying to save the lives. Now let us turn our mind to another concern. Just as the Pharisees overdid their traditions and rituals, we are being led to do the same thing. Many Muslims in this community, they think they can't say Muhammad without saying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Peace and blessings be upon him. Your heart should always have that attitude to give proper respect to Allah's messenger. Because Allah has said himself, salute him with peaceful greetings. Generous and peaceful greetings. But did he say every time you mention his name, greet him? Allah did not say that. Did the Muslims in the day of Prophet Muhammad, every time they mention his name, did they say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They did not do that. So this is a new tradition we have taken on, isn't it? Now, oh my goodness. We are to give due respect, and especially in our khutbah, we are to give due recognition to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Peace and blessings be upon him.
You've been listening to Imam Warth Deen Muhammad.
The book you've been waiting for is here. The book that unlocks all the mysteries of yesterday and today. A dynamic book of clear understanding. As the Light Shineth from the East by Warth Deen Muhammad. This new book is filled with interesting and thought-provoking topics like the evolution of the Nation of Islam, Dr. Farad Muhammad, human development, crime, elimination, corruption, language, culture, America, the beauty and the beast, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and many, many more. As the Light Shineth from the East by Warth Deen Muhammad will amaze you, will humor you, and yes, even shock you. Get your copy today. to order, send $2.50 plus 50 cents handling and postage to WDM Publishing Company, 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. Act now while supplies last. Immediate delivery. Special discount rates for schools, bookstores, and commercial businesses. As the light shineth from the east by Wadith Dean Muhammad, the book of the year.
Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Wadith Dean Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission.